Exodus chapter 23 and verses 10 to 19 gives to us the law of rest and worship. This is our consideration for today. We'll be completing the study of the giving of the law, which has begun in chapter 21. And now we have gone through almost 10 different sessions with different aspects of the law that the Lord commanded for the people of Israel to observe for their blessing, for their continuous preservation, sustenance. And in Exodus 23, 10 to 19, is given here special consideration of the land, in which the Lord declares that the land is to rest on the every seventh year. The seventh day was consideration of, was God's consideration for man himself. And here Spence said very well, he says that the seventh year was a mercy for the overworked soil as well as extending to the poor in to extend to the poor an opportunity to gather gleanings and natural provision that God would endow himself for the seventh year. And other gleanings were thoughtfully left for the beasts of the field to eat. So here, what we are saying, what the Lord is giving to them, is that they are to work the land for 6 years. And then on the seventh year, they are to rest the land. So what does it mean for them to rest the land? Well, it means that they would have a year in which they would not be tilling the ground. And they would be trusting the Lord to provide for them on the sixth year so that they would have enough for the seventh year. And then enough also for the eighth year, because they would take time again for the crops to be planted. This is the law that the Lord gave to Israel, that Israel is to observe. And if you were to look at the history of Israel, you'll find that they did not observe these laws. For more than up to 500 years, they did not observe these laws. And because they did not observe these laws, well, the Lord's they lose the blessing that the Lord would give to them, and the cursing was that they were deported out of the land for 70 years. For each time that they missed the Sabbath year rest, where they did not obey the Lord's instruction, well, they faced this judgment from the Lord. And so we want to talk about this. How that seventh year is also a time when they would not glean the field, and they would allow the crop to grow or whatever to grow in the field, and then they would allow the poor to go and take the produce. And after the poor has taken the fruits that are left, they allow the animals to go and feed on it. So on that seventh year, you'll find that there will not be work that was done to the land. And this act of mercy was introduced by the Lord at Mount Sinai. And what does it mean, the word Sabbath? The word Sabbath means to desist or to cease, to stop or to rest. That's the meaning of the word Sabbath. A seventh year in which they cease from tilling the land. The land will be left fallow. And you know that the Lord gave the Sabbath day in order that man may benefit. Man may benefit. 6 days we work, and on the seventh day the Lord provided for us a day of rest. And that day of rest that the Lord provided for us, it's wonderful, because that day of rest that the Lord provided for us allow us to refresh ourselves, take time to be spiritually orientated. That is what the Sabbath was made. Jesus says the Sabbath was made for men and not men for the Sabbath. And so the Pharisees at the time of Christ were taking a whole lot of issue with its observance, so much so that it became an encumbrance to the people rather than a spiritual benefit that they can derive by its observance. The Sabbath expense, he gave some categorization for us, which we are going to look at here, from the Sabbath hour to the weekly Sabbath to the Pentecostal Sabbath to the sabbatical month to the sabbatical year and to the sabbatical jubilee and the prophetic sabbatical 70 years that was prophesied by Daniel. But firstly, we're going to talk about the daily Sabbath hour. Sacrifices in the tabernacle and temple would eventually center around the 6 hours from 9 o'clock in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. So this is the time in which the sacrifices would be made. 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. Okay. And the often used phrase at even or until even, okay, this is a phrase that is being used very often, and it describes to describe the evening sacrifice. And what is said here is that all the ceremonial activity would be effected at the evening sacrifice of the lamb in the tabernacle. And here we are speaking about how on the 6th hour of sacrifice at 3 p.m., how God would make effective the provisions that he promised to his people. And we should then spend it here. We should think of the seventh hour of each day as the 1st hour after the completion of daily sacrifices. And the 7th hour was the actual hour of the cessation and rest which the sacrifices had brought for that day. And this daily Sabbath hour indicated the reception of the benefits that the sacrifices had brought to Israel and her individual petitioners who had come for some specific offering or sacrifice needed for that day. So the people of Israel would go to the temple. The time in which they would go to the temple is from 9 in the morning to 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Those are the times when the sacrifices would be made. And after that, there would be a time of rest. And we said that if you have sought the Lord, what is the impact or the effect of us speaking to the Lord and bringing our petitions for the Lord to the Lord? Well, we receive his answer to our prayer as we come to him, as we offer our sacrifices of to him. Well, the Lord blesses us. We can come to God with a sin offering, in the sense that we come to God and seeking to make right with him for whatever transgressions that we may have committed against him. And when we take time to be with the Lord, take time to come to God in His house in prayer, well, we receive His blessing. And those were the times, right, those hours, the 6 hours in which the sacrifices were made. And after that, from 3 to 4, there will be a ceasing of this activity. This year, for our church camp, we are going to have the theme, By Prayer and Supplication. We are going to speak about the doctrine of prayer, doctrine and application, or doctrine and practical aspects of prayer in the Christian life. By prayer and supplication. May the Lord help us as we seek to know Him, know how we can commune with Him, how we can spend time with Him in prayer. May God bless us as we prepare to come together before the Lord. Then there is the weekly Sabbath. This Sabbath originates with the fact of creation. And yet, when the Ten Commandments were given, Spence wrote, he says here, the second time it is linked with the Exodus and the Passover. Now, here, what we are speaking about, this weekly Sabbath day, is a day of rest that the Lord appointed for His people, that we would take the time to cease from our normal work activity and spend time to be in God's house. And this is a spiritual exercise for the believer to be spiritually oriented, a time that God has set aside. So our brother, you know, when we visited his late father, we spoke to him and he said that when I became a Christian, before that I worked 7 days, but after that I worked 6 days. And my fellow friend, well, who is not a believer, continued to work 7 days, but I don't earn less than what he earned in his 6 days. How the Lord helped us, how the Lord was with us. In fact, I feel better because I had enough rest, I could do my work better, and I trust the Lord that He would help us, He would provide for us, and that provisions come from Him. Sometimes, you know, we can go overboard, thinking that we can help ourselves. So, you know, if we can put in some extra hours on the Sabbath day, then, you know, you earn that extra buck. We said that on a Sunday, that's where everybody goes to buy whatever things that they need. And so if you close shop on Sunday, then, you know, you're going to loogie a lot in your business. Or if you are doing whatever you do, if you take a day of rest on a Sunday, well, it's going to affect your revenue, your bottom line. Okay? Well, the Lord does say that the Sabbath is a time when we would take time to be with the Lord, but there are works of necessities. There are those who work in certain profession whereby they are, in a sense, on call. The fireman is on call. The police is on call. The doctor is on call. The nurse is on call. There are those who does their work. The lift repairman is on call. Somebody is stuck in the lift. You would expect that somebody would be there to operate the lift. So here we are speaking how the Sabbath day is to be practiced. And our Lord Jesus Himself was gleaning some corn while He was there on the Sabbath day, so that, you know, his disciples had spent a lot of time in their work, in the work of helping the people around them. What Jesus does, he preached the gospel and he healed the sick. And they were all hungry. And it was the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees said to them, "Hey, you have violated the Sabbath, because you took the corn and you rub it in order to take the food to eat." But what was happening? They were hungry, right? What were they doing? Well, they were helping the people around, right? Preaching the gospel, healing the people around. Of course, their stomach were growling, and the scribes and Pharisees came to them and said, "Hey, you cannot eat, because that is equivalent what you are doing when you are gleaning in the field for the corn. It's equivalent to work. You cannot work on the Sabbath day." So Jesus says that the Sabbath is made for men and not men for the Sabbath. And so he gave the example of David, how he went when he was hungry and was without food. He went into the tabernacle and took the showbread to eat, hallowed bread, holy bread, at that time, and the priest gave it to him. Jesus cited these examples: the weekly Sabbath, the Pentecostal Sabbath. This, Spencer's, in reality is measured as 7 weekly Sabbath of time. "Even the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days." The word Pentecost means 50. And Spencer, he observed it well. He says, "This relates back to the 3rd day of the sanctification of Israel before Sinai, and 50 days after the exodus of Israel from Egypt." If you look at the New Testament, the day of Pentecost, you remember the day of Pentecost? The day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of Christ from the dead. 40 days, Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. And then 10 days, the disciples were tarrying and praying for the coming of the Spirit of God. 10 days, and then the Spirit of God came upon the people, and they began to preach the gospel. And then the church began to form itself, with the conversion of souls in large number. Remember, 3,000 were saved in that first movement of the Holy Spirit. The Sabbath month, the prominent thought involved in this represented the distinctive relationship of the first four feasts: the Passover, the unleavened bread, the first fruits, and Pentecost. So here we said that they observed 7 feasts. 4 of them we have mentioned: Passover, unleavened bread, the first fruits, and Pentecost. And the last 3 feasts, the Feast of the Trumpet, of the Atonement, and of the Tabernacles. When we went to Israel on a trip, it was the day of the Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. Everything was very quiet that day. So we were able to go into the Temple Mount. We make our way from our hotel, from Mount Scopus. We walked all the way and went to the Temple Mount. Managed to get in and saw all the things, all that was there. It was on the Day of Atonement. Then Tabernacles, that's the last of the feast. In the former, every measurement of the feast was significant in the light of the Passover, the representative of the first coming of Christ into the world. So the first four feasts has that kind of a significance. In the latter, the measurement of the feast was significant in the light of trumpets, represent the second coming of Christ back to the earth. The last 3 feasts were in the seventh month of October. So we were there at that time, at the end of October. This month signifies all the wondrous events connected with the return of Christ to the earth. The sabbatical month is full of rejoicing and activities and fruitfulness. It is the greatest time of joy in the year for the Jewish people. The sabbatical year, this was a time of dedication to the replenishing. Spence wrote, it says, by God's provision of the land, the earth, the poor, and the beast. It reminds us of the covenant that God made with Noah and gave the token of the rainbow to assure the world of his continued care in sustaining all things necessary for man's physical survival. God would bring such an increase in the sixth year that it would at last in abundance through the seventh year and on into the plantings and reapings of the eighth year. It was this very blessing and privilege that Israel violated, we were mentioning earlier, and determined Judah's 70 years spent in Babylonian captivity. For 490 years, that had been neglected. All this Sabbath year, 70 times 7. And they were to spend a year in the Babylonian captivity for every sabbatical year that they had neglected. So God gave these laws, God gave them the land, and God gave them the increase. And this was for their benefit. But they did not consider these things. They did not consider the poor, they did not consider the beast. Remember, the laws were given, humane laws, and they were pertaining to people, they were also pertaining to animals. Okay, so these laws were given so as to gender peace in the land and benefit for God's people. But when they spurned it, Jeremiah 29:10 says, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. What happened? 2 Chronicles 36:21 says, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70. So all those years of Sabbath that they missed, 490 years, every seventh year they missed, the Lord added to them, and they were deported out of the land. Those 70 years, the land was desolate in the sense that, you know, there was no tilling. You see, when they till the land, what it means is that they would receive their produce. So they did not regard. They were so self-centered that they did not regard the commandment of the Lord towards the things, the people around them, toward their God. So because of this, they faced this judgment from the Lord. The sabbatical jubilee, this was the fifth year, seventh of years. All servants and lands were restored to their original inheritance in the 50th year. Seven sabbatical years ushered in this glorious time of liberty. Everyone regained their rightful possessions. It was a year of reunion and restoration. The prophetical sabbatical 70. You remember God gave these words to Daniel concerning the 70 weeks. What is this 70 weeks? This is the other aspect which was mentioned here by Spence. He says the 70 weeks were determined against the Jewish people. Remember, Daniel was trying to seek a way out or seek to know on the 69th year of their captivity, what will be the future for his people, Israel. So he prayed. He prayed for 2 weeks. 2 weeks he was praying, seeking the Lord that his will be made known to his people, because he knew that after the 70th year they would return to Israel. But what will be God's will for them after they return? Daniel wanted to know, and God revealed to him. Remember, the Daniel, the angel who came to reveal to him, was resisted. 2 weeks he had to wait, because there was a spiritual battle that was going on in heaven. And finally, Daniel was given this prophecy of the 70 weeks. And it was a prophecy of such magnitude. It gave to them the time frame, from the time in which God gave the, or Cyrus gave the decree to rebuild the temple, to the time when Christ would be crucified on the cross. 483 years. So here, and all of it was fulfilled, right, to the day, okay, from the time in which the decree was given to rebuild the second temple. Remember, the first temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. The first temple destroyed, so they had to rebuild the temple. Cyrus, the Persian emperor, or Persian king, was the one who gave the decree to rebuild the temple. And from that point till the time when Christ was crucified, when Jesus said, remember our Good Friday message, Jesus said at the end of the Sabbath, or at the end at 3 p.m., he says, it is finished. It is finished. That means all the work that is to be done is completed. The work of redemption. So here, the prophecy of the 70 weeks speaks about the first 49 years, which concern the finalizing of the rebuilding of the Jerusalem and her walls. And then 434 years from to the time when Christ was crucified, 434 years. And then there is a final 7 years, which is described for us in the book of Revelation. We were studying with the youth the book of Revelation. We are we were at Revelation chapter 19 last Saturday. We were speaking about the battle of Armageddon, right at the close of the seventh year period. We said that God sent 144,000 Jewish evangelist to preach the gospel during the time of the tribulation. And then God sent 2 witnesses to preach the gospel. And finally, God sent an angel for the first time. No, God sent an angel to preach the gospel from the air, so that the whole world will know that God is God. And that was the final giving. And the Antichrist and his army started to march to Israel. So they will have to pass through this plain called Megiddo. So we were sharing that there is this large plain that you can see if you go to Israel, and you are on Mount Carmel. You look down, you'll be able to see this large flat plain in which the back, if you want to take Jerusalem, you must pass through that place. So that is usually the point in which the armies will meet, because if they are defeated, the next stop is Jerusalem. Okay? And so the final battle, the battle of Armageddon, was fought there in the plain of Megiddo, in which Christ will return and with his saints and his angels to destroy the armies of the Antichrist. Armies of the East, they will be gathered there, 200 million. And there will be a great bloodbath. The Bible says that at that time, you know, the blood will be up to the legs of the horses, in the sense that there will be a great bloodbath that will take some time to clear when the Lord returns and the enemies, the Antichrist, will destroy, and then will begin the millennium, when Christ would rule from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And so that is that part, the prophetical sabbatical 70. So the first thought, we speak about the law of the sabbatical year. It's highlighted under private law and civil law, under law of inheritance, and item F, sabbatical year. Land must lie fallow. Verse 10 of Exodus 23. And 6 years shalt thou sow thy land, and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year shalt thou let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. 6 days shalt thou do thy work, and on the seventh day shalt thou rest, or thou shalt rest, and that thine ox and thy ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. So you see that this rest, this physical refreshing, is mandated by the law for the people of God. And when we observe it, when we follow it, we find that there is strength in our lives, because you know we are able to refresh ourselves with the rest that the Lord has appointed us. If we go on without rest for a long period of time, before you know it, what happens? Start to break down, right? And this law of sabbatical year is also highlighted in under humane laws, kindness toward animals, kindness toward animals. And here the law states in item 3, for wild animals, that the wild animals too may be able to glean in your field. Okay? To glean in your field. Rush Moody, he observed. Exodus 20:8-11, 23:10-12, and Leviticus 25:5-7 refer to the need for rest or a Sabbath for animals. The wild animals eat of the fruit of the sabbatical year's harvest, and the domestic animals are included in the weekly Sabbath rest. The Sabbath year is also a rest for the land. The commencement makes it clear that the Sabbath day of rest is for man and beast alike. But the details of the law spell out the fact that a sabbatical year is required for the land itself. Now we look at what Spence said. It says, this was a time dedicated to the replenishing by God's provision of the land, the earth, the poor, and the beast. It reminds us of the covenant that God made with Noah and gave the token of the rainbow to assure the world of necessary for man's physical survival, that God would intervene to take care. God would bring such an increase in the 6 year that it would last in abundance through the 7th year and on into the plantings and reapings of the 8th year. So the people of God need to learn to trust God. If you have to plant, if you have to stop planting, what does it mean? It means that you have to trust God to give you the increase. Right? It will cause you to exercise what? Faith. Right? You have to exercise faith in God, because you know that you cannot bring the double or triple increase. Only God can bring that double or triple increase. So when you trust the Lord, it means that you stop, right? In a sense, you be reoriented so that you don't depend on your own effort. There is that tendency, right? If you go on working, and you think that, oh, it's my hands that cause the harvest to come. As long as I work hard, there is harvest. But the Lord says stop. When you stop, then you realize that, hey, it's not so much me that gave the harvest, but that God who gives the increase. And that you are working is fine. It's fine for you to work, but you know, there is a time needed also to rest. And the land itself, the animals, the poor, so all this are taken into consideration by the Lord. You see, right? God cares for all these things, you know, the wild animals. God cares for the wild animals. Right? So he stipulated the law in order that the wild animals will be taken care of. The second thought, law of first fruits. That's Exodus 23, 16 to 19 is classified under religious law and individual conduct. Religious law and individual conduct. Verse 16 says, and the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is at the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of thy field, three times in a year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord. Thou shalt not seed a kid in his mother's milk. Exodus 22, 29 to 30, we have mentioned before, concerning the law of the first fruits. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits of thy liquors. The firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. Likewise thou shalt do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his them, which is the mother, and on the eighth thou shalt give it unto me. So here we are speaking about not forgetting that the fruits that we receive comes from God. So every time you receive something from the Lord, do not forget that it is from Him. And so the Lord says that we are to return a portion to the Lord. And that is a good practice, that we do not forget that all that we have received come from the Lord. He is the one who gave the increase. And so this is a law of the first fruits that the Lord gave for His people to follow. In Deuteronomy 26 gives to us that the detail of this law of the first fruit. It says here in Deuteronomy 26 and verse 1, it shall be that when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth which thou shalt bring of thy land, that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put in the basket, and shall go into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket of thy hand, and set upon before the altar of the Lord thy God. Why is he doing that? Why are they asked to bring the fruit, put in a basket and brought to the Lord? Why? So as not to forget what God is doing for them. God is the one who gave them the fruit. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there a few, and became there a nation great, mighty, and populous. So what is he supposed to do when he bring that basket? he's supposed to rehearse his history to the priest. That they were strangers. It was God who brought them into Egypt. And then they became a nation, great and mighty and populous. And the Egyptians evil and treated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked down on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders, and hath brought us into this place. So what are they supposed to do? They are to be reminded. They are to remind themselves as they bring the fruit of the first fruit of the land to the Lord. That this is the place that the Lord has given to us, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. So, you know, there are those who said that, you know, when you see full harvest, right? And you said that the entire branch is full of fruits. Amazing. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, has given me. And thou shalt see it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto thy house, thou and the Levite, and the stranger that is among you. When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thy increase, the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given unto the Levites, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widows, that they may eat within thy gates, and be filled. So what are they supposed to do? Well, they are supposed to remember how God has blessed them, and they are to remember all those others who have contributed who were a part of their community, who are less privileged than them. Verse 13. Thou shalt say before the Lord thy God. You remember, the Levite doesn't have land, so they have no way of increase. Okay? Thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of my house, and also have given them unto the Levites, unto the stranger, to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all thy commandment which thou hast given me. And I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, or given aught thereof of the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. This day the Lord thy God has commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord has avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, and he has promised thee that thou shalt keep all his commandments, and shall make thee high above all nations which he hath made, in praise and in name and in honor, that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he has spoken. Thank God for his care for his people. If God don't give the increase, no rain, no sunshine. There's a great coming of a swarm of locusts, eat up all the crop, gone. A strong wind that blows over. I remember recently there was a strong wind that blew over and all the chicken farms collapsed. We see that we can do what we can, but it is the Lord who will finally give us the increase. So do not forget Him, in other words, do not forget Him. And finally, the third thought, the feast, verse 13 to 15. And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect. And make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard of thy mouth. 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I command thee, in the time appointed, the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. So here the Lord tells us that our focus must be upon the Lord, not any other gods. So when we come for our worship of the Lord, are we thinking about the Lord, or are we thinking about our own pleasure, our own enjoyment, our own things on the Sabbath day? The Lord wants us to have that focus, right? To focus upon Him. When we love Him and we serve Him, He takes care of us. Not that we do that in order to win His care, but to thank Him for His unbridled care in our lives. Feasts are mentioned with special emphasis, as Ben said. All males, 12 years and older, were accountable to go up to these 3 feasts as a minimum each year. One was in the spring, the Passover, called Feast of Unleavened Bread, here because of its relationship to the Passover, and the second in summer, Pentecost, called the Feast of Harvest, because it was during the time of the wheat harvest. And the third was in the fall, the Tabernacle, or the Feast of Ingathering, because of its ingathering effort at that time. There were 3 rules laid down for the observance of this feast, and the blessing of the Lord was dependent upon the feast being kept in this proper manner. First, leaven was to be totally deleted in connection with the blood of this sacrificial feast. And the yeast that is used to make their bread, they are not to have it, put it there. Okay? Their bread will be unleavened. The yeast is used to rise, for the bread to rise, right? But they are not to put the leaven in the bread. Why? Here it is said that the fat of my sacrifice was to be eaten during the night before the daybreak. So the fat was not supposed to be left also. That was the law given for the Passover. The leaven should not be used during to make whatever bread that they would use. And then also here we said concerning the feast of the harvest, or the feast of weeks, the first of the fruits is to be brought, we mentioned this before, to the house of the Lord. And here we have mentioned it, and I think we would complete it here.